This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
I ask people to respect the decision, whatever it might be. And I would tell them that Judge Williams is a man who served in the Justice Department in the Civil Rights Division. So he is very sensitive to these issues.
All right, so that's Elijah Cummings, the representative, of course, from Maryland. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, the Freddie Gray case, where we have the police that have gone through one by one, turns in a much different direction. This was instead not a jury trial, but it was a judge's decision. So a judge's decision in this case clears a cop that will not go to a prison as a result. Freddie Gray was the Baltimore guy who died of a spinal injury that happened when he was in the back of the injury happened when he was in the back of a police van, and there were a lot of, shall we say, riot-like behavior after this. So there was a lot of unanswered questions. He was arrested in West Baltimore April 12th of 2015. He was struggling to walk. By the time he arrived at the police station a half hour later, he's unable to breathe or talk. He had, you know, he's suffering from wounds that would ultimately kill him. He died from spinal injuries. And so, of course, they investigated how the 25-year-old was hurt, what happened, all of that, and the world exploded in Baltimore. And there's been much conversation about what happened, how Gray was handled, and police and their relationship with African Americans in this country and others. So this was a huge what happened in Baltimore. And again, the fact that you've got, you know, that you had an option to go with a judge instead of a jury, and how that ended up is fascinating, because most would opt for the other. Well, I shouldn't say most, but a lot would opt for the jury, take their chances with the jury. But the jury in the previous police officer trial ended in a mistrial, and perhaps that's part of the reason that we, you know, part of the reason that we saw what we saw, why the judge acquitted the officer this time around. You know, when you look at evidence and then you look at the scenarios, what the law is based on, and of course how a judge would certainly look through that. So anyway, a big day of debate. Edward Nero was the second police officer to stand trial, not guilty. That's it on all charges in connection with Gray's death in 2015. He was charged with second-degree intentional assault, reckless endangerment, and two counts of misconduct in office for his role or his actions on the day Gray suffered that final spinal injury I described, in case you missed it. So it was a 5-day bench trial. And the Baltimore Circuit Judge, Barry Williams, said the state failed to meet its burden of proof. You know, what exactly was Nero accused of? Why was he cleared of wrongdoing? And this is an evidence thing. Williams gave a lot of weight to testimony and how it was corroborated and the justification and that kind of stuff, and decided that Nero did nothing wrong when he failed to secure Gray in the van. So now there are others that will also stand trial, and you wonder, are they going to opt for the bench trial. Two, after seeing how, you know, this turned out. When you walk, and I'm going to kind of veer in a couple of different directions. When you walk into an airport, does your heart kind of skip a beat? Not because you're excited to fly, but you realize as you look out before you on the horizon, there's no people. That somehow you've dodged a bullet because you don't have a long TSA line. This is all we talk about on the way to the airport. When my husband and I are in the car, what do you think the lines are going to be like? Should we park closer? Can we go to that park and ride? No. Should we go to the parking spot? Debating constantly the verbal jumping jacks of how soon do we need to be at an airport or being dumped off at the airport. So how about this? You had a TSA official resigning after massive scrutiny, long lines, but the official had received $90,000 in bonuses. When was the last time I ever received $90,000 in bonuses? Oh, that's right. I haven't received $90,000 in bonuses. I mean, good for this person because that's sweet, huh? Well, that's a good position to be in. Let me give you another bonus. So Kelly Hogan, the Transportation Security Administration Assistant Administrator, that's a long title, for the Office of Security Operations, removed from his position in the wake of all this scrutiny. The change was announced Monday night. But what's interesting is, at the hearing, the TSA administrator, Peter Neffinger, was questioned why Hogan was given 90 grand in bonuses when security lines weren't improving. Neffinger said that he did not tolerate potential retaliation against whistleblowers and pledged to look into it. Whatever. He's saying that what happened was employees have said that they were retaliated against after directed reassignments where employees who have highlighted wrongdoing with the administration were shifted. And Neffinger said the long lines, the thousands were due to the thousands of employees that they lost in 2014 that they have to replace. But I don't see how he explains away those bonuses. I mean, initially, $10,000 in increments. It's like he's at a slot machine and he's hit the jackpot. Another 10,000. Oh, you mean there's people complaining about the lines? There's another 10,000. Can we give you some more money? Does that make you feel good? Let me give you some more money. Congratulations. He did hit the lottery in working in that capacity for the TSA, obviously. Otherwise, I mean, why would they pay him that? That's a good question to ask. The lines get longer and he gets richer. Privatize, baby. Find a way to privatize. You want to deal with long lines? Can attacks really be prevented in the long run? If you really think they can be prevented, you have to have more profiling. It's already happening anyway. You have to have better people doing it. When you walk up to an ATM, do you wonder how people are ripping off your cash? It took 2 hours and 1,600 fake credit cards, but 13 million gone. I'm saying gone from an ATM, a South African bank, victim of a bank heist, 10,000 miles away. Criminals stole $13 million out of the cash machines on another continent using fake South African credit cards. Oh, my gosh. Criminals are smart, aren't they? Stay with us, true or false, next.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Piedmont Attorney Spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shot the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop. You save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health issue and company and other factors. Not available in all states.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Purchase a ProPure system during the Crazy May sale and get a free ProMax shower filter or water filter pitcher. Remove up to 200 contaminants with the Pro 1G 2.0 truly cleanable, reusable filter. We don't stretch our claims, we just deliver performance. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
As we continue to rock through America tonight, quick reminder coming up, I get a lot of questions about a woman I had on, Sherry Wilson, who's the first female firefighter in Dallas, Texas. She wrote a great book called Faith on Fire, and it's just funny because I know her now, and she writes the way she talks, and she just doesn't pull any punches, and I really think it's an interesting story. Can you imagine being the first one in the gate? I certainly can relate to that, but in a much different arena. And I've known a lot of firefighters, and there's people in my family have been volunteer firefighters. And when I was in the television world, I was covering a lot of fires in Santa Fe. I covered a fire in Santa Barbara, California. I covered a terrible fire. And, yeah, firefighters go through, just unbelievable emotions too when they see some of the horrible things that they have to see, depending on what the scene is when they get there and the kind of fire. So we do this thing called True or False. We love to bring Patrick Eggdorf onto the show with us, and he's joining us now for a little TNF, as I call it. Are you ready?
I'm ready, Kate.
You have such a good personality. No worries. You're like me. You say, no worries. No worries.
Yeah, no worries.
That's right. Because what is there to worry about? We live one life. Why? No worries.
It's much easier that way.
It is much easier. You and I are a rare breed, I hope you know. You're much younger than me, so I'm just going to tell you. You're going to find as you go through life, you are a rare breed, even in your generation, because it's just so much easier for people to get uptight about things. Okay, so true or false, How about this one? I don't know if you know much about what's going on with bears in this country, that they're starting to crawl out, and because we're, I think, stepping on their territory, they're starting to see more bears, more appearances of bears, sometimes in places where you wouldn't normally see them. But anyway, DNA samples show that the wrong bear was euthanized after a hiker in the Smoky Mountains National Park was attacked. True or false?
I'm going to say true for that one.
It is true. The Great Smoky Mountains National Park said this week that the black bear it euthanized was not the one that attacked a hiker sleeping in his tent near the Spence Field shelter. If you're familiar with it, you'll know that area. They made this determination after they received DNA analysis comparing samples from bears found near the shelter where the attack happened. And the first analysis compared a sample of bear saliva taken from the belongings of hiker Bradley Veter, 49, from Las Vegas, and a male bear euthanized on May 13th. So that's awful that they got the wrong one. Instead, they found a different one that is believed to be the attacker. Well, that does no good. So we killed the one, and now we've got this GPS tracking collar that's attached to the first bear. And, you know, they got the wrong bear. Wow. Too bad. I mean, wrong place, wrong time, I suppose. Okay, let's move on to another one. Another true or false. True or false, Patrick? Snapchat. Do you know Snapchat?
Yeah, I use it occasionally.
Snapchat. Tell everyone what Snapchat is. What does Snapchat do?
Snapchat is basically a photo and video sharing where you only have up to 10 seconds of sharing each photo or video with any of your friends that also have the application.
Right, and here's the thing. It disappears, doesn't it?
Once you watch it, it's gone forever. Well, so they say.
I like that. So they say. So Snapchat raised $200 million for $20 billion valuation. Is that true or false?
I believe that. I'm going to say true.
Raising $200 million for a $20 billion valuation. True or false?
Oh, you're making me second guess myself. I'm going to say false.
Wrong! You should never second guess yourself. No, it's true. So Snapchat, which is wildly popular, so Patrick talked about it, because it disappears, it's a messaging app, it's raising another round of financing. That's what you have to do. And $200 million is a big infusion. Now the company gets valued higher at $20 billion. 3 years ago, Facebook offered to buy Snapchat for $4 billion. Wow. And the CEO, Evan Spiegel, was criticized for not taking the deal. This guy is smart. This kid is smart. In a commencement speech at the University of Southern California last year, Spiegel said he made the right choice. If you sell, you will know that it wasn't the right dream anyway. If you don't sell, you're probably on to the beginning of something meaningful. So it'd be pretty wild to be offered $4 billion for your little app that was, you know, interesting and catching fire, but he didn't, and now the company is worth $20 billion. So that was a smart move on his part. I think it's hard to walk away from that kind of money. If somebody offered you, Patrick, $4 billion for an app that you made, do you think you'd be tempted to take it?
I would be very tempted to take it.
I would, too. I think that what he said was clever, though, that if you could part with it, then you knew, yeah, this isn't the thing. That's good. You know, I'm excited. It's a lot of money. Boom. And I can live with that. But if you don't, then you knew that there was something that you had to stay with. So good for him. I mean, just, yeah, crazy. All right, we had that crazy Gold King mine spill that was so awful. In New Mexico. The sludge, toxic sludge from an abandoned Colorado mine spilled into the river. So, true or false, New Mexico says no way. They're suing the EPA over the gold mine King spill.
I'm going to say true.
Yes, the state of New Mexico says we're not going to take that. They're the first to file the lawsuit against the Environmental Protection Agency and two mine owners for the damages caused by the Gold King mine spill. The New Mexico Attorney General, Hector Balderas, filed the complaint on behalf of New Mexico's Environmental Department. Basically, what you need to know in this gobbledygook, because they say, screw it, we're not going to take that. This is how bad it was. Employees of this EPA contractor released millions of gallons of mine waste, in case you forget, laced with heavy metals into the Animas and the San Juan Rivers during a cleanup op. That plume carried more than 800,000 pounds of toxic metals, lead, copper, mercury, zinc, through state and tribal lands. Because I used to live in New Mexico, I know exactly the area that they're talking about, beautiful area. They ruined it. They screwed up big time is what they did. And then try to pass the buck. So good. I think it's good to file the suit. For once, I'm going to say it's good to file a lawsuit in that case. For sure. All right. True or false, the San Jose Sharks are one win away from being in the Stanley Cup Finals.
I'm going to say true for that one as well.
You can hear it in my voice. Yes, the San Jose Sharks respond in a very big way. They bounced back. Game 5 in the Western Conference Final against the Blues, they rocked it. And, you know, they put themselves in a position with the 6-3 win to have a 3-2 lead going back to San Jose. If they win in San Jose, they're in the Stanley Cup Finals for the first time ever in their franchise history. So there's a lot of people that are very excited about the Sharks, and it's just playoff hockey. That's what happens. A puck bounces one way or another way, or you just get lucky, get hot, and then you're in the money. So it could be the Sharks, and who knows, the Lightning on the other side. I don't know. It's interesting. Playoffs is like a whole different season. Good job, Patrick Egdor, for the little true or false.
Yeah, it was a good time.
It was. Buckle up. Stay with us. More coming your way next.
All right, listen up, because this is the most important thing you're going to hear all day. What if I said you could make money flipping houses without any cash, credit, or manual labor? And what if I said you could do it part-time from the comfort of your home? Sound unflippin' believable? Hi, I'm Preston Neely, and I'm going to prove it by sending you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It sells online for $19.95, but I'm giving away free copies this week. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-959-9582. I used to be so broke, I had my electricity shut off 9 times. But I figured out a simple way to make money flipping houses without even breaking a sweat. Now I'm living the good life, and so should you. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. Hands down, it's the fastest, easiest way to get started in real estate. Let me prove it. Call right now to find out how to get your free book. When they're gone, they're gone. Call 1-800-959-9582. 1-800-959-9582.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one and suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a Select Quote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shot the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health issuing company and other factors. Not available in all states.
Have on the show than a glass ceiling breaker, Sherry Wilson. She was the first female firefighter paramedic in the Dallas Fire Rescue Department. Wow, imagine what that was like. So excited to have her on the show. She's got a book out called Faith on Fire, The First Ingredient of a Miracle is an Impossible Situation. I bet a lot of people listening to us across the country can relate to that. Sherry, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here.
So you got to take us back to the very beginning of this. First of all, what made you want to go into this profession?
Well, I wasn't really sure that this was what I wanted, but I was working for an ambulance company. I knew I wanted to save lives. But the reason I applied for the fire department was because a man told me I couldn't.
Always a good ingredient, an elixir to ignite a woman's passion for a job, yes.
He said, you can't do that. You're a woman. He goes, you're stupid. Women can't be firefighters. And I went, oh, well, I went home. I tossed and turned in the bed that night. I was really angry. I was on shift. I went home, took a shower, found my college transcript, walked into the Dallas Fire Department, and within a couple months, going through the processes, I was hired.
Wow. And what was it like the very first time when you put on the gear, learned all the ropes, all that kind of, all the kind of things that go into becoming a firefighter combined with what you were doing? What was that like when that first happened for you?
Well, out at the academy, it was all a training ground. But the very first really big fire, I just remember my heart pounding. And I was, you know, back in that day, we could stand up on the sides of the apparatus. And this fireman that I was riding with, he looked over at me. And I think he could see as we were coming up over this bridge, it looked like the sun was coming up. and I had a panic look on my face. And he looked at me and he pointed and he said, his exact words were, "Girl, that fire's already out. You hear me?" And I just went, okay. And we went in there. That was the faith on fire attitude. They didn't look at a fire and go, "Oh my God, what are we going to do?" They had this attitude that was going to win no matter what. And it just stuck with me and it resonated through my entire life. And it ultimately helped me finish nearly 35 years in my career.
Wow. And from that scary moment, there had to be others. The first fire you jumped into the middle of where you thought, boy, am I, did you ever have that thought? Like you said, the winning attitude, did you ever have the thought, "I hope I get out of here. I have a family. I can't believe this." Did you ever once have that thought?
Well, there's times that you do what we call following the hose. You hope to hell the hose going out of the fire instead of to the fire. And so, yeah, I had a few of those. I think the scariest was we went into an old building in downtown Dallas, and it had served many a purposes, but we went up the stairwells, and I was one of the last to go up the stairwell, and I fell through the stairwell. Thank God my butt stopped me from going all the way through. And I was sitting there going, "Oh, God, help me." You know, I was expecting angels. They appeared in bunker gear. And over a period of time, they were able to dislodge me and get me out of there. And I ended up taking a few shifts off. But when I came back, they were like, "She's back." They really thought it would have done me in.
Wow.
And so I just kept putting one foot in front of the other. And before you knew it, gear done.
Yeah. And what people don't realize is, how much does all that gear weigh? This is not an easy task.
I don't know. Probably close to 50 pounds, maybe. I mean, without a mask, it's probably more like 25, 30. But with a mask, it's a little heavier. And they were heavier back in the old day. We used to have old steel tanks, and then finally we went to aluminum and fiberglass, and they were a little bit lighter and easier and more ergonomically comfortable. But, you kind of felt like a pack mule at times. But the gear wasn't the hardest thing. The hardest thing for me were tarps.
Tarps? Why were tarps hard?
Because they are so freaking heavy, and you usually carry two of them. And if you carry them up into a high-rise building, I mean, it's just, it doesn't sound like much, but that and the high-rise bag were the two hardest things to do, the two very hardest things.
Wow. So, crazy. I've spent some time, I was in New York when 9/11 happened, and I had friends who were firefighters, and I spent a lot of time in my life. I've spent time around firefighters, people who do it for a living and people who are volunteer. And I think one of the hardest things is they never want to lose anybody, and going into a fire where they just can't, you know, where they can't save somebody, or they find somebody was in a back room and it's too late, everything explodes. Did you ever have an experience like that?
Well, I was involved in the 9/11 saga in a way. One, because I was a firefighter. Two, I had just dropped my son off at West Point a month before, and we had done the towers. We had eaten at Windows on the World. We had, you know, bought our little Christmas ornaments and things. And then to have my son near all of that was very stressful. That was a really hard time for firefighters. And the very first shift back, our lieutenant sat us down and he said, "What are you going to do? What are you going to do? We are now the first line of defense for the homeland. You know, our military's over doing what they're doing. Here in America, something hits. We're the first line of defense. What are you going to do? Are you going to go up them stairs just like those firefighters?" And it was funny because it was like a calling to all of us. And, you know, we all made the choice that we were going to keep doing it. We weren't going to be stopped by whatever was out there. Our rules of engagement changed. As a driver engineer, a lot of times I got stuck out with the apparatus instead of in the middle of whatever they were doing, because we were afraid they were going to use our apparatus as some kind of weapon, and so we had to, you know, maintain control a bit. I mean, a lot of things happened because of that. I studied that to the point that, I mean, I had to quit watching it because, you know, where we were looking at how the building fell and, you know, how can we, you know, because I really was not expecting those buildings to fall. And so we've gone through a lot of extensive, you know, trying to figure out what happened, how did it happen, what could prevent that in the future. And sometimes I say, stick a fork in me, I'm done. I'm glad it's over with. But I loved what I did. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, once a firefighter, you'll always be a firefighter.
Oh, I hear you on that, knowing so many people who have retired from the fire department and, as I said, have been in it. One thing I know about fire departments is the sense of humor is crazy insane. When I was in Albuquerque, New Mexico, I was a television anchor, and, of course, I got to know a lot of the firemen. And they had a nickname for me. They used to call me Chipmunk. And every once in a while, I mean, and they meant it lovingly because they would gave me some good inside scoop. And it was just so funny. Like one time accidentally I was interviewing the chief and he was so comfortable with me. He said, "That's right, Chipmunk." And I cannot tell you the letters I got at the station from people about that nickname wanting to know what do they mean by that? So you talk about in your book, you talk about the fire department poop sheet. Tell us what a poop sheet is.
Oh, it's pretty much. Oh God, you read that part, huh? It was just a tool to lighten the load, so to speak. We called it agitation, and the poop sheet is pretty powerful. You know, words are very powerful. Once you put them out there, they're out there. And of course, you know, there was numerous. I actually have files of poop sheets from over the years, and if it's not a poop sheet, it's a cartoon where, you know, they've put your face in there and you know, had something humorous to say. So yeah, we had a lot of those, and I'm a writer, so you know, I couldn't really fight a lot of the battles that were there, so I did it with my poop sheet, and I was pretty destructive with it at times. I mean, there was a few of them that got really quiet, and when they got really quiet, I knew it was time to kind of back off. But I made my point. I mean, I learned to play those games just as good as they did, and in some cases, a little bit better. I'm not really proud of all of it, but I learned a lot of lessons, and I grew from it, and the fire department seems to be a lot gentler today than it was, but there's always a little bit of cordial hypocrisy, so to speak, going on, you know, people gesturing and posturing to be bigger than the other or better than the other or whatever. I mean, there's just that John Wayne attitude.
Yeah, it's playing the dozens, and you just did it on a sheet, and it was, you know, sarcastic or ripping on somebody's the way they dressed or groomed themselves or whatever it is. As you say, it's a way to, in a weird way, to keep score or do the John Wayne kind of thing for sure. Do you think more women will become firefighters? Have we seen the advent of, hey, now if you can do it, then we want you? Has it gotten better?
Oh, I think it's gotten a lot better. There's nearly 100 in our department now, and I'm going to tell you, I'm a betting woman, and I bet that the next chief will be a woman.
Really?
I would follow this one girl anywhere, but there's three or four of them that are absolutely qualified, have got the thing that's so unique about it is that, and it's how I stay connected to the department is through my friends, and they have the respect of the men. I mean, that's how good they are at this job, and so it's really exciting to see.
Well, that's cool, especially like you said, they're that good at the job. All right, Faith on Fire is the book. Sherry Wilson wrote the book. She's the author. And to get a copy of it, can we go to Amazon?
You can go to Amazon or you can go to faithonfire.com.
Awesome. Sherry Wilson, it's been a delight. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Bye. Think about this. Your community's aging water infrastructure systems are very likely to be contaminated with heavy metals like lead, disinfection chemicals like ammonia, chlorine and chloramines, and pharmaceuticals like statins, pain meds, and antidepressants.
And no, water treatment plants are not equipped to filter these pharmaceutical toxins out.
Protect your family's water supply with the trusted Big Berkey water filter. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show Big Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria and viruses, all forms of fluoride and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market. The gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters for the love of clean water.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 His boy standing on a corner.
Somebody, look at the lot of money in our virtual green room right now. I don't think we gave him too much Red Bull. I'm not sure about that. He's the complete opposite of many of us on the third shift who kick it into high gear a little bit later in the evening. Eric Peters is our guest, and he is a libertarian. He is self-professed libertarian gearhead. He writes about cars, energy, and freedom. Here's what I like. If you go to ericpetersautos.com, because I'm an auto freak anyway, but if you go there, man, you will learn things that will make your eyes roll around in the back of your head, including some of the stuff that we've been talking about. What is the deal with biodiesel, which is being shoved down our throat, and who is really profiting from it? He calls it the Kool-Aid of the farm lobby, and I agree. Eric, thanks for hanging with us.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me on the show.
So, of course, now there's a lot of conversation about this, especially with the Iowa caucuses and all that stuff, and we're right into the thick of it. It seems like every day Hillary Clinton is in Iowa. So to be these politicians in modern times, you just is that what they do? They just, all right, look, we gotta go along with biodiesel, or we gotta go along with ethanol. We keep hearing about the ethanol factor, but there's not even enough plants to manufacture what we would need, right?
Well, the interesting thing is that the lobby contributes equally to both political parties, and so in that way they've got both their bases covered. It really doesn't matter from their point of view which one gets elected, because ultimately it seems to be it's their guy or perhaps their woman, depending on how things turn out.
Yeah, so when you look at renewables, what specifically bothers you the most?
Well, let's see. Let's start with, we're told often about how advantageous it is to use these renewables, but if they're so advantageous, then why does the government have to force them down our throats? I've drawn the parallel with, I like to go to Chipotle. Your listeners may like Chipotle and get a burrito or a bowl there. And Chipotle doesn't send a lobbyist to Washington to have the government carve out a subsidy for Chipotle burritos because people like them and they're willing to buy them without any coercion involved. And I wonder why that same standard doesn't apply to these biofuels. If there's such a good idea, it shouldn't be necessary for the government to be involved.
Yeah, and I would say the other thing is, if it's such a good idea, then let's let the politicians drive around only on biofuels and really push that to all their constituents, which, of course, you know that's not happening, unless it's advantageous to them and they're in the breadbasket area or they're in areas where that's being pushed because of the corn lobbies there, then that's a whole different story. So it is about the power of the purse, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's a very valid point. Similarly, with regard to Obamacare and various other things that they pass, they exempt themselves from it, and that's rather telling. You know, if it's not good for the goose, it shouldn't be good for the gander. The other point that I would make is that it does cause food prices to rise, simply because a lot of the potential food that could be produced for animal or human consumption, specifically with regard to ethanol, the corn, with regard to biodiesel, soybeans, is diverted to the production of these biofuels, and as a result of that, the cost of food goes up. So we're paying more for food and we're paying more for fuel.
Yeah, beef specifically would cost more. As I know, I'm in beef land in Dallas, and then it costs more, as I was talking to a farmer the other day, it costs more to ship that too, right?
Sure, because ethanol and biodiesel, it's less energy dense, so you have to burn more of it to go the same distance. So the truckers have to spend more on fuel to get from A to B, and the stuff that they're hauling costs us more because it's cost more to produce it.
Yeah, and then here's the other part of this, Eric. What about older cars? What does that do to older cars when you're talking about using these alternatives?
Well, ethanol has been a disaster for older vehicles, which were not designed to accommodate high alcohol content fuels. Most of the ethanol that's sold right now is E10, meaning that the gas you buy is 10% ethanol. They're pushing for E15, which would be 15% ethanol, and they're also looking down the road at E85. Which is 85% ethanol. Alcohol is a corrosive fuel, and if the vehicle's fuel system is not designed specifically to accommodate it, you get all kinds of problems. One of the big ones is that it attracts moisture, and moisture is a big enemy of your fuel system. It causes fuel lines to rot out, and it's in particular playing havoc with people who have marine engines and so on, and power sports, lawn equipment and what have you. It's been really, really tough on those things.
Yeah, so when we look at that all combined, and then you look at the auto industry, and if you're producing new cars, I guess it depends on what it is you're producing and where you're at. But that could be a disaster too, as well, for many in the auto industry, especially when they're in that what I call the second hand market, when we're talking about like used cars, right?
Yeah, it's accelerating the obsolescence of the older cars because it's increasing the wear and tear on them and getting them out of the market. And the other side of the coin is that, to get back to the point about being less energy dense, your fuel efficiency goes down when you're using these fuels. And that's rather ironic because we're constantly told about how imperative it is that we get higher efficiency and more miles per gallon, and yet the government is force-feeding fuels that are less fuel efficient on the public.
Yeah. All right. I'd be remiss, Eric, if I didn't ask you this. We're speaking to Eric Peters. You can check him out at ericpetersautos.com. You know, you write about cars, and I saw a picture of you on a motorcycle. What's your favorite chariot to ride in? What do you like the best?
Cars or bikes?
Bikes.
Okay, I've got an old Kawasaki two-stroke triple, and for people who are familiar with those, in particular the H2 750 that was made in the early mid '70s, and they they were known as the Widowmaker back in the day because of their power curve, and there's nothing that quite makes the sound of a Kawasaki two-stroke triple on its power curve. There are bikes today that are much faster and much quicker, but they're much more controlled. Thompson would say it takes a real man to ride an old Kawasaki two-stroke triple.
I love that. How do you feel about, I know you wrote about this, you know, if you go to your website, you can read all this stuff, but you wrote about the Toyota Camry hybrid. A lot of people are talking about hybrids and what does that mean and should I get a hybrid and how much does it cost to me? And what did you find with the Camry?
Well, I find that now I think the technology is impressive and interesting, but despite all the hobbles that have been put on them by the government, you can get diesels that will do as well or better for significantly less money. With all due respect to Toyota, and I like the Camry, it's a good car, you can pick up something like a Volkswagen Jetta TDI diesel for about $5,500 less than the base price of the Camry hybrid. And in real world driving, and I drive these cars for a living, and so I can tell you from personal experience, you will match the mileage of the hybrid, in particular if you drive a lot on the highway, which most people tend to do, for less money with less hassle. So I'm very impressed with some of the diesel cars that are on the market right now.
Yeah. When you go out, because obviously, you know, you ride a lot, and if you're on your bike, do you have a favorite route that you take?
Yeah, I live out here in the sticks of rural Southwest Virginia, and there's a road just down the road from me called Bent Mountain, and it's a series of S turns that goes about 2-3 miles from about 1,500 feet at the valley floor all the way up to about 3,000 feet in that relatively short distance, and it's the finest test track you'll find on the East Coast, in my opinion.
Wow. So, you know, I said this in the beginning, too, mixing in the politics of the libertarian bent. When you look at the fact that on Thursday we got 10 people on a stage of the Republican debate, is there anyone in that crowd that you like?
Unfortunately not. Unfortunately not. You know, it's really kind of daunting and sad to look at that field and not find anybody that's really simpatico. And the reason, as a libertarian, that's the case is I'm not looking to tell anybody what to do. I would just like to leave everybody alone and ask the same in return.
Yep.
And unfortunately, none of those guys are willing to do that.
Yeah, it looked like Rand Paul, you know, initially, when Rand Paul jumped into the Senate, it looked like he was going in that direction, but now that's switched, I think.
I think so, too, unfortunately. Of course, you know, on the other side of the fence, it's none too appealing either.
Yeah, so then what do you do? I mean, it comes down to this. I say this all the time because I'm always pushing for the third party. But, you know, when it comes to voting, do you just say, well, I got to sit this out because who am I voting for?
Well, there's lots of arguments to be made on that, but one of them that I think is pretty persuasive is by just withdrawing your consent. They desperately need the illusion, if not the actuality, of consent. That is the idea that most people have supported one or the other candidates, but when you break it down, particularly at the presidential level, what is it, something like about half the eligible voter pool votes, so that's about 50%, and then the winner typically wins by about 25%. So you've got a relatively small minority of the actual eligible voters who actually wind up selecting the president. So despite all the talk about democracy, majority rule, in fact, the minority rules.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? And if you, like you said, if you do the math, it's simple math, then you realize what's really happening. Yeah,
exactly.
Really, really, really sad. Fun to talk to you, though, Eric Peters. Thanks for hanging late with us. And again, check him out at ericpetersautos.com. Thanks.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
You betcha. Bye-bye.
And nothing to see. Sometimes I feel like something is gone here. Something is wrong here.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding. Unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze. Containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good and you need to try it. Contact your Longevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Would you like to receive $250 to $1,000 cash per day? Go to richmoneyrich.com. No website, no selling, no explaining. Just take these simple two steps and go to richmoneyrich.com. You can be generating cash in the next 24 hours simply using this system. Good news is, it runs on 100% autopilot, and you don't need any experience to get started. It's easy. Get your share of easy riches and go to richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com. Go now. Brought to you by the Conservative Investor. Current returns not indicative of future results.